This program was first broadcast on Planet FM, Community Access Media in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland. You're hearing it on accessmedia.nz thanks to Erirangi Tumutu.
Welcome everyone into the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and obviously I've done a promo without putting the on-air button, but anyway, obviously just a quick rundown, it is obviously we've got AJ, Stephen Harris will be talking Black Ferns, Joey Green, NRL and Auckland League Finals, starts with Jamie Roberts, football for the big guy Seamus Martin, netball for Lee Piper, and our panels Mr. Thompson and Mr. Davis. But before we go any further, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street, west in the Auckland CBD. They have a good selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap. They have a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, and great food and music. Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, we come into the third game of the great rivalry tour, and of course we've had a lot of NPC played this week. Here to join us is former All Black AJ Whitten. Good morning to you, AJ.
Hey, good morning, Peggy. Good to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And, of course, just some news coming out of the All Blacks camp. Caleb Clark is injured and he's coming back home. So, obviously, whether there is a replacement or not, we're probably not likely to hear it at this point. But, obviously, during the week, the All Blacks took on a shark side, a pretty very much depleted shark side, and we're quite convincing, 54-0 in probably some terrible conditions. A young shark side, apart from a 44-year-old on the bench, but at times the All Blacks played some really good rugby, and it was quite impressive. Just your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, probably... But they got out of it. They struggled a bit in the conditions to start. I mean, what was it, 14-0 at halftime? A few mistakes. And obviously when you've got a big touring party, putting combinations together, and against what you said, a depleted Bulls, depleted Sharks side. Have been over there myself, played the Sharks, I tell you, they're a lot better than that. So, yeah, a lot of players held back. Obviously, they're all gearing up for the big test match in a week's time, Peggy. So, read into it what you want. It's just, for me, was a run for the team. Try and get some combinations together, get some match fitness before they get into the big stuff this weekend coming up. Next weekend. The Bulls, again, I don't know too much about them. I see old Willie LaRue's well-known test player and an extremely good kicker, so they'll just have to watch out with their discipline, make sure they don't give away too much penalties. But to be honest, I don't know a lot about the, apart from Kotea's the captain at number six, the Bull side.
And when you look at the All Black side that's been named, they're going to give Josh Jacob a run at first 5'8". They've said, let's give the kid a run. He's going to combine with his Chiefs teammate, Latima, who I think's been really good on this too. I've been quite impressed. Ricaone, they put him back at to centre. That'll be interesting to see how he goes. But Cody Taylor will be leading this. Obviously, they'll be looking at Fabian Holland and Pat Tui Peloto just to see how far these guys can get through and what sort of match they play.
Yeah, and it's a pretty strong side. Yeah, good to see Josh having a run at 10. We always thought they were a bit heavy on the number 10s, but, he certainly deserved a run. And, of course, you mentioned Rutherman inside. That's got a nice combination. And, of course, Linton Brown. So 9, 10, 12. Ione's back, Barrett at fullback. Certainly like Cody Taylor back on the pitch. Certainly needs a run, and he'll be skipping the side. New front row, Namir and Lomax on for their first matches, or starting there with, and Fabian Holland. Be very interested to see how he goes. Big man, big presence, big heart, big ticker. So looking forward to seeing what he brings to the park. But I'm assuming, well, I'm sort of guaranteeing that they will walk away with this. But good to see players take the field.
And, of course, you mentioned first five as well. Bit of a surprise. Another first five joins the camp, and Richie Mwanga with the Billy Proctor injury.
Yeah, but that was always on the cards. I think Dave Rennie gave us plenty of heads up. They were talking about it, discussing it. He's no doubt a big Mwanga fan, obviously had him over in Japan, so it brings in a bit of a dynamic to it. What, five loose forwards? But they all can play bits and pieces, so I guess he's just saying to New Zealand rugby, we've got to move with the times, and my job is to put the best team on the field, and if he's the best number 10 in his opinion, he'll be playing and he'll be starting. But a bit more water under the bridge yet. There's a weekend chock full of NPC, so let's just see how they get through over there, hopefully with no more injuries.
And of course, that's where we go to the NPC next. Now, at the beginning of this year, I felt North Harbour would be struggle in this competition, but I've been proven to be wrong. Thursday, they were just brilliant. I looked at it, Jeb Melvin. Bryn Hall is probably playing the best rugby. Obviously, he signed to be the backup halfback for the Hurricanes. Leota, this winger, Leota, he's fantastic. He's a big boy, and God, he's good. 47-7. I didn't see it coming.
No. Well, of course, I was out at Western Springs last week in Auckland, did a ground out of win. It was a tense one.
Yeah, it was.
Material against Wellington, but they got there, which just shows they've got a bit more ticker. They're actually fighting it out there, and Wellington, you would suspect at the start of the season, three up, three down, Peggy. But Harbour have been very impressive. You mentioned this boy, Leota. Gee, what a wrecking machine he was. There's some confidence, you know. They're looking good. Northland on the, winning last night, what, 42-0 against Taranaki.
Oh, unbelievable.
I would have taken a lotto ticket to say that is incorrect. It should be the other way. But Northland, again, playing with conviction, excitement, a couple of new players in their forward pack, some real good talent, and they're just so confident at the moment, and they've really opened up the competition once again. NPC, Hilux NPC, this is great. I just enjoyed it. I don't know what's happening week in, week out, but Taranaki, 42-0, well, that is a whopping. So we've got some new contenders up there, Piggy, and it's in for an exciting competition.
Well, I was just going to say, Lachlan Hooper, a first-half hat-trick and scoring a try within 18 seconds, but really impressed with Hooper. Mullins and Hooker, very good. Their pack was immense. The Knott-Rehana combination is probably one of the best halfback first fives combinations in the competition. Of course, they may have a very important match on Thursday down in Christchurch, possibly for the Ramphilly Shield. And I would say, if you're a Northland fan, you'd be confident.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt how they are humming. And, of course, you've got some experience. You've got trainer at number 50 up there. You've got the rush there. And it's just a team that's sort of been together for a couple of seasons now, some consistency in selections, and luckily not many injuries. So I think they're just starting to find their feet. And you mentioned the boy Hooper, who's come over from Aussie. My word, has he certainly made an impact. But with Knock there and Rehana, a very, very talented 9-10 combination. And, they're just playing with excitement and confidence, and they're certainly showing that on the pitch.
Anyway, we move on to the NPC weekend coming up, and of course it starts off 2:05, 1 New Zealand to Kaha. It is Canterbury versus Bay of Plenty for the Ramphilly Shield. Your thoughts on this one, AJ?
Well, don't write off the Bay. I mean, they got up for their win just in the last seconds against a determined Northland team. They probably felt a bit of lucky. They should have won that, actually, in Northland. But Bay of Plenty needed that for some confidence. Going down to Canterbury, well, it certainly seems to have Canterbury all over it. Again, you've got Mwanga, we've already mentioned there, and Chapman at 9-10. He'll certainly want to retain the shield for the Red and Blacks before he jumps on the Big Bird over to South Africa. A very good balanced back row, and Callow, Gardner, Cahill, so and McAllister at number two, Brody. So there's certainly experience there, and playing at home with the shield. I just can't see them losing at first one up. But Bay of Plenty, they're just going to have to throw everything at them. They've got nothing to lose. They're not expected to win, on paper at least. So big game there from Tahereu Rangi at number nine. See if he can muster the troops here at the base of the scrum and get some decent ball, if enough, to put some pressure on the Red and Black.
And of course then we have later on today, 5 p.m, it's Auckland versus Hawke's Bay. Now obviously beforehand we have the schoolboys final between your old school Auckland Grammar versus Kelston Boys, so that will attract a lot of people. And you know, this is one thing about schoolboy rugby, when you have this 1A final in Auckland, it is huge. I love going to the 1A final. It's always a bit of excitement. You actually meet people that, you know, you see the old school ties. I was speaking to a few people who have bars around the area, and they always say to me, they always say, NPC's always hard for them, but they always say, as soon as the 1A final's there, they said they're packed.
I think they're anticipating 15,000, hopefully. I know there was a request for some more tickets from the schools, the secondary schools, both of them. So I think that alone will bring in somewhere about 7,000-8,000 people to the park. And what a great experience. And it's a great tradition. My old school, Auckland Grammar there, and Kelston Boys, old Ted Henry, who's had a hand in both schools. So, yeah, a lot of tradition there, drama. And obviously, I just want my school, hopefully Auckland, get up there. And it'll be a crack of a match regardless. So go AGS.
Can I ask something? Have they, because you're a prominent, obviously, former All Black, a prominent media personality on a Saturday morning, have they asked you to give a motivational speech?
No, because I just go back and talk about myself. So
anyway, let's move. Auckland versus Hawke's Bay, what's your thoughts on this? You know, I think Auckland really have improved, but at times they could have lost that match against Wellington. Hawke's Bay always looked like Hawke's Bay good.
Oh, look, they'll go in as favourites. And again, I say you've got to win at home here. But this is the team that looks on fire, don't they, at the moment? And why not? You know, we mentioned them week in, week out there, Fakatawa. Look, Godfrey playing some absolute ripping rugby. Had a terrible injury last year. He's come back with a vengeance. He is running the cutter superbly. You've got, good loose forward Flanders there, of course, in Lahore. And look at you've got the Sutherland brothers out there, wide and Fumai on the wing. So, look, very talented team, very cohesive. But Auckland at home, they're really going to have to pull up their socks to win this one. They showed some courage last week. They'll go in there, playing at home. Let's see if they can send a benchmark. But it would be, I'm picking my team, of course, I always will, but they're going to have to play some superb rugby. Perafita, of course, leading from the front at number 10, playing some good footy, but it's going to be a huge team effort if they're going to roll Hawke's Bay at home. But I'm still back in the blue and white.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move on to the later game. It's Manawatu versus Otago. Otago didn't play well against Canterbury, but I think the Manawatu, they're at home. They had a good one. They had a last-minute win over Southland. They may have a bit of confidence, but I could see it going to Otago. I'm sorry, Slim Mackay. I think Otago's got this one.
Well, yeah, look, I'm going to go back to Manawatu. I mean, playing at home here, they got out of jail against Southland. How they did that, I'm not sure. But, boy, once they get on a roll, Bijouin at number 10, he's a sneaky little number 9 there. He's got his outside war boys there. And I've got a couple of strapping wingers there, especially in Philly Mone. So if they can get some decent ball, I think they'll put them under some pressure. Otago just losing the shield. How are they mentally? We mentioned they let that slip away. I thought some of their set pieces were pretty average, especially their line out, which cost them. And really, they had it all there to retain the shield. They'll be bitterly disappointed. Are they going to take it out on Manawatu two at home there? Well, let's wait and see if they can build themselves up. Leo, Willie, of course, and Casey, I know they're talented players, and Elton, on paper, too good for Manawatu two, but wouldn't surprise me if they give them some curry on Manawatu two.
Absolutely. Then we move on to the Sunday games, Southland versus Waikato, Counties Manukau versus Tasman.
Yeah, I see the old Mulu have made five changes, hopefully not to their detriment, because you've got to go down with your wires open down in Southland. And I said they'll be ruining they let that one slip against Manawatu, so I must win for them, really. Coming into game number three, they need to get some points on the board to win. But Waikato, a bit like Hawke's Bay, are looking good this year, Biggie. Like the look of them, Xavier Rowe there, Kamara, Anderson, Naito Kanani there, they're the back three or four on fire. You know, good, tough forward pack there, been around a while, Jacobson there and Finau. So, you know, that's talent against the Southland team. Well, they'll have the crowd behind them. Dunshay again, we know he always gives 110% there. But if it's going to be enough ball and quality ball to roll this on form Waikato side, I'm going to stick with the Moon.
Absolutely. Well, then we've got Counties versus Counties Manukau versus Tasman. Really, Counties Manukau really need to cause an upset there to get, I know it's only round three, but to really get to reinvigorate their season, they need a win.
Yeah, it's disappointing because they came off the back end last season, especially just going down to Canterbury in the quarters. They could have made the semis. Not sure what's quite going on there. They've got some good players there. Church, he'll give it all day, every day. He'll knock anything down. Rainsford, you know, he's been around there at number 10 at first five for county. But playing Tasman, well, they've been a bit up and down themselves, actually, in consistency. But Harvelli there, of course, at 12 and number 10 there with his brother and Hopham. What a great combination to have. I think they just need to get it together. Just not quite clicking at the moment. Shelton there, the big number 5, he'll give them plenty of ball there. Yeah, just think that they'll be too good on the day. But Counties at home, yeah, look, I tell you what, Piggy, wouldn't surprise me if they took Tasman, but I'll stay with Tasman to see that they could just might get up over them.
Anyway, you're not going to be here next week, and where are you going to be?
Well, I'm jumping on the aeroplane myself, and I'm going to just chuck over a bit of a hit and run. I'm going over to the first test there in Joburg. I think it's going to be an absolute ripper. The atmosphere at Ellis Park, it's pretty hard to beat. Played there, watched rugby there, and a magnificent crowd. And it'll be filled with some anticipation, anxiety, all those things go with it, and it'll be an absolute ripper. So, yeah, just going over for the week, about 8 or 9, 10 days. My friend will be hit and miss, but looking forward to it big time.
Yeah, so is it just yourself, or are you taking Mrs. Wetton with you?
No, Mrs. Wetton's quite happy for me to go. She's packed for a month. Maybe she's telling me something. But anyway.
Hi, Nikki, how are you going? Hope you're enjoying the show.
So I'll just be heading over there to see the big one.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking forward to it. And it'll be great. So I'm just going over there with some friends. I do have some friends, Peggy, and one of my South African friends, Ray, who's leading the charge. So there'll be about 8 of us. So I'm looking forward to catching up with him and enjoying the hospitality, which there will be plenty, I assure you, and Joseph.
And knowing you as I know you, AJ, you will be right into that hospitality.
Well, I make myself known. If no one knows me when I get there, I tell you, Peggy, by the time I leave, they'll know who AJ Wheaton is, I tell you.
Oh, mate, I'm already sending out warnings to the South African media about watch this joker AJ Wheaton. They all, and you know what? I've got to give the South African media, the youngsters, they all know who you are. If we send it to the younger media, who's this AJ Wheaton?
That's good. I like to go under the radar. We'll go undercover. Well, in your case, you go under height. But anyway,
thank you. On that note, have a great trip, mate, and we'll catch up in a few weeks' time. See you later, buddy.
Bye.
Anyway, that was AJ Wheaton. So, yep, he's off to South Africa on another, as we say, and he's on a good trip, and I know he's looking forward to it. So next up, we're going to talk some about the Black Ferns season ahead with Stephen Harris.
I know the taste of my tears when they run down my face, yeah. me of all of the years and the dreams I've been chasing. Fueling the fire inside so the fears I can face. Cause mama never told me nothing about being complacent. So you can knock me down, but I won't stay on the ground. Can't stop believing I'm the greatest. Heart's breaking till I know I made it. Go out just a little more, makes it worth it all. When I hear the call, will I rise or fall? I know all my roads lead to something gold, so I'ma walk them all. I will walk them all. You can knock me down, but I won't stay.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Just before we get on to our next segment, a big shout out to Force Electrical. Force Electrical was started back in 2014 by my old mate Nick Brakovich, and it's grown into be a trusted name across the wider region. And why you should, and this is why you choose them. First of all, they're reliable and they have knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest in industry standards and technology. What they do, well, what can't they do? They can do anything from residential and commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters, battery storage and ELV solutions. So any electrical work you need at home, at your batch, whether it's at work, give Nick a call at Force Electrical. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email him nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Well, here to have a... we're going to talk a bit about the Black Ferns. They had a bit of a quick hit out against a Black Ferns 15, winning 62-19. They've named their squad. They've got a big, big program ahead of them this year. Here to talk to us is renowned commentator Stephen Harris. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Amon. Good morning to your listeners. And once again, always a privilege and a pleasure. Never a chore to be on your show.
Thank you very, very much. Well, we had a look. So, obviously, it was a hit out for the Black Ferns. Obviously, in the next week, they take on Australia for their very important O'Reilly Cup. And, of course, when we look at the squad, Whitney Hansen, she's not scared to name a few new players.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's had to probably make a few changes. Of course, Kennedy Tufuake, who's normally the skipper, is obviously been omitted from the side because of injuries, and also Jamie Colossi with an ankle injury. So we're unlikely to see either Kennedy or Jamie back in this Black Ferns lineups. But interesting, we've seen a few players actually return to the squad as well. Santo Tamata, who last appeared for the Women's Rugby World Cup back in 2022, if I recall it, and Alina Faili, who also makes their first Black Ferns appearance since 2018. So that's pretty amazing. But I thought one of the most amazing ones was Leila Asai, who after a really bad ACL injury, also returns. But congratulations to the five uncapped players who have come into the Black Ferns squad on the back of what was a very, very good Super Opiki this year. I thought the quality was very good, so congratulations to Ngamo Tavaki, Abarante Satiti, and that's the younger sister of Wallace, and yes. Eleanor Plum King, the loose forward from Matatu as well, and we'll talk a little bit about her yesterday, scoring three tries on her debut, or sort of unofficial debut in that hit-out game, and of course the outside backs Maya Davis, who's always been there or thereabouts, and Shira Tuliao Tua. And congratulations to those five players all in this, all basically in their first call up for the Black Ferns.
And when we look at the Black Ferns program for this year, obviously the O'Reilly Cup, which I believe is one of the more important trophies within New Zealand rugby, especially in women's rugby, because of what Laurie O'Reilly done for the game, for the women's game here in this country. And I think it probably, to me, it should be given a bit more respect by New Zealand rugby. That's just, but that's a conversation for another day. And then they go over and they put a curtain raiser for that third test, against the All Blacks in South Africa. They play a much improved South African side in Johannesburg, and that will be huge. And then they've got a, then they're in Europe, and then they've got France, Scotland and England, and then they have a home series, and it started in October. And if you want to go out there, get your tickets. 17th in Hamilton, 24th in Whangarei, and the final test on the 31st at One New Zealand Stadium, Takaha. This is a really good program for our Black Ferns.
Oh, 100%. And listen, congratulations to all concerned who actually made this happen. I just do want to say, though, it probably grates me with me a little bit, this game next weekend for the Laurie O'Reilly Trophy being played at Go Media Stadium. Listen, I can recall watching the Black Ferns up in Whangarei last year, and they had a very, very good crowd.
Yeah.
I just wondered if this was an opportunity to take this game, I don't know,
to the regions.
Take it out to the regions.
Do you know where I think this game should have been played? And you, people may laugh. I actually felt it probably, if anywhere, should have been at One New Zealand Takaha, because I think they would have got a huge crowd for that. Or else, take it to the regions, take it to New Plymouth, take it to Napier. And obviously, when I say New Plymouth, obviously Laurie's daughter, Lauren, who I've had on the show before, speaking about the legacy of Laurie O'Reilly, that would have been more appropriate than going to Go Media Stadium.
Oh, got to totally agree with you. But listen, it's the perfect, they needed that head-out game yesterday against a New Zealand 15, obviously too strong, 62-19 after, I'll tell you what, the New Zealand 15 held them to 26-14 at half time, so they actually needed that head out. And I tell you what, a game against South Africa as curtain raiser, you know, that'll be quite a historic occasion for the Black Ferns. I think it might be the first time that they've ever actually played it. Well, it's the old Ellis Park, isn't it?
Yeah. Soccer's the old soccer stadium in Soweto.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting.
That's huge. You imagine they're probably playing it. If all the crowd get there on time, it could be a world record.
Could be a record. And South Africa aren't a bad side. They're one of those really improving nations. So it's possibly just the head out that they need. And then there's another 8 days before they go to the W15 Global Series against France. And France will want a bit of a better bounce back, so it's I would have preferred if they'd played Scotland first, but hey, it's the opposition that you come up against. It is what it is. And then there's those three games, obviously, before they return home in October, and this is a perfect time of the year for a series as well. Usually, on most occasions, the weather's pretty good in October. So, yeah, big program for Whitney. For Whitney Hanson and her troops.
And when you look at what Whitney Hanson, she's came in and she's not scared to pick new players.
No, not at all. And I think a lot of that is basically on the back of what we saw. I mean, to say the Super Rugby Aupiki, I actually thought it lifted a step. I mean,
I think it did too. And I think, and to me, Stephen, you know, when we saw Renee Holmes going to Hurricanes Power and a few players going to there, that really lifted their intensity as well too.
Oh, 100%. It's quite interesting. You kind of look at the at this Black Ferns team, and definitely the strength. There's a really good even balance. The loose forwards look pretty strong. I really like the inclusion of Amarante Satiti. I thought she was absolutely outstanding, and she's obviously made the team. Interesting that she's been selected as a lock. I see also Laura Bayfield out there goes pretty good. Hard to believe a year ago she was running around for that New Zealand 15, but she's a very good player, but she pulled out late yesterday from that performance. Relatively reasonably strong in the halfbacks, Maya Joseph. I think she'll get a lot of pressure from Tara Turner, who played very well for the Blues. Very good mover of the ball. First five, Ruahei DeMont and Hannah King. And, of course, we got the luxury that Ruahei DeMont can slot into that midfield position. And a whole lot of experience in that midfield with Sylvia Blunt and Amy Duplessis. Of course, we got Justine McGregor, who's pretty inexperienced, but that only having played three caps, but it's good to know we actually have got some experience in that position. And, of course, the outside backs were pretty well served there with Maya Davis, a very experienced Aisha Letianga. Boy, we know what a good sevens player she is, but what she brings is a little bit of X factor. Mariana Paul as well, also been part of the sevens program. And I'll tell you what, Brixton Sorensen McGee, I think last year she had a great year. Probably haven't seen the best of her in 2026, it'd be fair to say. Yeah, Amon?
No, we haven't. I think she hasn't had that same spark. Maybe the old, as they call it, the second season syndrome always comes into it. But, yeah, let's see. I think this will be an important year, and I think it's a rebuilding year. It's obviously, in Europe, the reality is England is far ahead of everyone at the moment in women's rugby. And I think Whitney Hanson will want to now start bridging that gap between them and England.
Oh, yeah. You know, we sort of think back to that World Cup, and it was that area, you know, around contact and detail. You know, just getting players over the ball, where they got bullied a little bit, especially by Canada, who eventually made the final. And it's fair to say, England will probably target those particular areas as well, but. Boy, it'd be nice to break that record. They're on a winning streak, that England team, and it'd be nice to build nicely for that particular game. So, probably not a bad thing that they play two other Northern Hemisphere teams before they actually hit that England game.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, we're just looking ahead. Obviously, for you on Thursday, you will be. We'll be looking at this match and down in Christchurch, hoping for a Canterbury win, because Thursday, up your way, it could be party town around 9 o'clock.
Well, you never know. The Taniwha certainly put a stake in the ground last night with their performance. I believe they've come through the game injury free. They've certainly got a pack that could match. I think they've got a pack that could match any team in this competition. I'll be checking out the flights today just to see if it's viable for me to fly down to one New Zealand stadium, or Takaha, should I say, to see this game. But yeah, it should be very, very interesting. But hey, let's not forget, you never take anything for granted. Bay of Plenty heading down there this afternoon at 2:05 kickoff from the men from the Tauranga Rotorua area. But boy, Canterbury will also have to pick themselves up again after what was a very strong challenge from Otago Sunday. God, boy, it really is a sprint, this competition, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fantastic competition. Myself, you probably heard myself and AJ, and you know, like, you know, it's just one of the best competitions around, mate, and that's where we're at the moment, mate. That's how good it is. Anyway, Stephen, enjoy the rest of your day. We will hopefully have a chat during the week. Hopefully we can catch up next week, where you may be giving me a bit of a jip being from Canterbury. No worries. Okay, Steve.
Good Good on you, mate. All the best.
Thank you so much. That was Stephen Harris. Brilliant. He just knows his stuff. Next up, we're going to talk some rugby league with Joey, the old green machine, Joey Green, as we look at not only the NRL weekend, but big finals in Auckland Rugby League. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Just before we go any further, this segment is brought to you by WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, and keep the wife's tomatoes happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, and different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Anyways, we'll talk a bit about rugby league, and here to join us, the old green machine himself, Joey Green. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I tell you what, it's a cracker of a day here in Auckland, and no doubt we've seen some cracker games in rugby league already, and it's going to be a bumper weekend, not only in the NRL, but in Auckland rugby league as well.
Absolutely. Big weekend for Auckland rugby league. But before we'll start off tonight, 9:30 in Brisbane, it is the Warriors versus the Broncos. Warriors have got a bit of confidence about them at the moment after that win against Penrith. Some results are definitely falling their way at the moment. Really, this is a tough one, because if anyone can upset you, it's going to be the Broncos. They've always got a point to prove, and they'll probably want to prove a point for one reason. Since that magic round defeat against the Warriors, they were hurting after that. And of course, the Warriors, they're keeping the same, very much an unchanged team.
Yeah, very much unchanged for the Warriors. Only the one change that I can think of is Dimitri Wymonga coming back onto that 19-man bench for Morgan Gannon. And we've seen over the last few weeks how much energy these young forwards bring into the game once they brought in from Webby. Dimitri Wymonga, Tanis Dowler-Smith and Eddie Urimeaa-Tuiava have been massive over the last month or so. Alongside Sam Healy, who's just been ever so consistent across 2026. But like you mentioned, with the Broncos, once that magic round defeat against the Warriors, I feel like that basically derailed their season, mate. I feel like they haven't quite recovered since that matchup. And yes, they've still got the X factor of, you know, the Ezra Mams, the Reece Walsh, the Katoni Staggs, the Pat Carrigans. You could probably even start to put Xavier Willison into that conversation as well. Payne Haas, although he's leaving to South Sydney for 2027. It's still a very, very tough Broncos side at home. On a Saturday night, with, you know, a lot of these players either wanting to play for Kangaroos or representative spots heading into a World Cup, their best end of the year, they're going to have a lot on, a lot that they'll want to prove, not only to Broncos fans, but to representative sides as well. You look at the Warriors, they've had a very good last, month or so, a very big win over the Penrith Panthers last weekend as well, which I feel, could set the tone heading into September as well. But it's not going to be quite easy in Suncorp.
Absolutely, and I have to say that Metcalf back for the Warriors are big. He could be the difference there. Anyway, we move on to the Thursday night games, and I can tell you something. This had the intensity of a grand final. Panthers 6, Roosters 12. Daly Cherry Evans just showed us why he is such a brilliant player and such a smart veteran in this game.
Oh, 100%. And when, you know, when you look at the Sydney Roosters side over the first 6 to 8 rounds of the competition, you know, a lot of fans started to have these questions about, is the Cherry Evans and Walker connection the right one for the side? Looking at how they lined up on Thursday, no James Tedesco either, so Cody Ramsey was back in the fullback spot. Regardless of who's playing in that fullback, I still feel like they're going to be a massive threat heading into September and October, and they showed that on Thursday night. The Panthers, on the other hand, a couple of tough back-to-back losses, not only against the Roosters, but against the Warriors as well. It's going to be a very tough next few weeks for Penrith. If they can't get a few results going their way, then there might start to be a few question marks over the side heading into final football.
Absolutely. Then we move on to last night's games. Well, the Dolphins, they are really entertainers. They were 22-0 over the Sea Eagles. I'm going to say this right now. Jeremy Marshall-King was fantastic. Asako, 1,000 points in NRL.
Yeah, look, if you Stacey Jones will be over the moon with how some of these boys have been playing for the Dolphins. Jeremy Marshall-King, Jermaine Asako, they're probably going to be two shoo-ins for that Kiwi side come October and looking ahead to the Rugby League World Cup. At the back end of the year, Isaiah Katoa just seems to, as much as the season continues to go on, he's just growing in confidence, and no doubt over the next, 5 to 10 years, he's probably going to be the halfback of the competition. But the Dolphins are flying high and look like they could still pose a challenge to some teams heading into September.
They certainly could, and you know what? They just play an entertaining brand of football. That's the biggest thing. I love watching them play. Anyway, we go to the Bulldogs 6, Rabbitohs 22. Well, Jack White, and another veteran who really showed us why he's still one of the best. Cody Walker, I believe, has been underrated this for a very, very long time, but really he is pulling the strings for the Rabbitohs at the moment.
Yeah, just it seems to be a tale of the veterans over the last month or so. Ashton Ward combining alongside Cody Walker, who despite his age seems to be playing similar to Daly Cherry Evans, is playing a great brand of football at the moment. And probably what the Bunnies need, alongside the likes of Jack White and Talis Duncan's been having a great year in the red and green jumper. Cameron Murray adding another layer into that side as well, so they could still pose a threat heading into final football as well. They're a very entertaining side. And no doubt if they can add Latrell Mitchell back into that side, that just adds another bit of X factor. But for the Bulldogs, it looks like it could be season done for Canterbury Bankstown now for 2026. So maybe we start to see the end of the Stephen Crichton experiment at 6 and Matt Burden back out in the centres. But hey, credit to the Bulldogs. With how these seasons gone, they're continuing to show up week in, week out and prove that for the future they could be a very, very talented team.
Absolutely, and of course, then we look at the NRL weekend ahead. It is Sharks versus Raiders, Eels versus Cowboys on Saturday. That's Sharks Raiders. Sharks had a loss last week. They'll be against the Dragons, so they will be a bit. They'll definitely want to beat the Raiders. The Raiders still feel they can make that 8.
Yeah, if Craig Fitzgibbon and their coaching staff at Canelli, you'd be bitterly disappointed with how last week turned out. A game that, if they want to be premiership contenders, they should be winning games like that, regardless of whether the Dragons are a much improved side or not. And I think if they want to, get another win, a dominant win at home, it's going to be off the back of, the likes of Braden Trindle, Nicho Hynes, who have seen, basically dominate the competition for, the 6 or 7 weeks prior to that. We're going to need a big performance out of them because you start to look at this Canberra side and they're starting to find some very good form for Ethan Sanders, Ethan Strange, combining alongside Owen Paddy as well. They're starting to find a bit of confidence, and if they can get a chance to play their brand of football, then they might challenge this Cronulla side and try and sneak an upset back to Canberra. But I would hope that Cronulla, if they want to be contenders, they're going to have to be very, very dominant this afternoon.
And with the Eels versus the Cowboys, well, Eels have not had a good season. The Cowboys really bounced back last week after a couple of weeks ago getting an 80-pointer against them from the Roosters. I think the Cowboys still have, they've got that bit of grit about them. I think they'll beat the Eels.
Yeah, and similar to a lot of other sides, they should be beating the Eels as well, who have had a bit of an up-and-down season, but still finding themselves towards the bottom of the ladder. Perth Bears fans will have a very keen eye on upper title, playing fullback for Parramatta tonight. Could be a future gun for that Perth Bears side. But the Cowboys, realistically, with the team they've got, as much as they've lost Reed Marnie, they've still got Tony Luke, who's a very, very capable nine and might feature for Tonga at the back end of the year. They've still got a talented team on paper and should be able to contend within the eight, and it starts with games like these.
Absolutely. And then we go on to the Sunday games. The Knights versus the Titans, the West Tigers versus the Dragons. Knights, Titans, I think you've got to back the Knights. Even though Dylan Brown's not there, they're still doing the job. And Kalen Ponga is playing fantastic football.
Yeah, 100%. As much as they lost Dylan Brown and Dylan Lucas for the remainder of the season, it feels like they haven't missed a beat. This Newcastle side, Dominic Young and Greg Marju, have lifted to another level. And regardless of who they've got in the halves, whether it's Hendon Smith alongside even Tyson Gabel when he's coming to the side at stages of the season, he's been quite good. But it seems like they're pretty settled on this Hendon Smith-Fletcher Sharp combination for the remainder of the season. And I think it's a very talented one. Fletcher Sharp, regardless of whether he's playing 5'8", fullback, halfback, he's just got that something about him and offers a point of difference alongside Kalen Ponga as well. There should be a very, very dominant side and one to watch out of that Newcastle night. So Francis Manulilua, he's been a heck of a revelation over the last month, and I think he could be one that if he continues that vein of form over the next month or so, could be coming knocking for a World Cup spot.
Absolutely. And then we go to the final game, West Tigers versus the Dragons. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Joey, the West Tigers, it just goes from, I just can't see them winning this. I can see the Dragons getting a win here.
No, you look at the Tigers, 7 losses on the trot heading into this one, and yes, they're at home on a Sunday afternoon, which they generally like to play in these kind of time slots, but you look at the Dragons and how much they've improved over the last 8 weeks. They got another win last week and over a premiership contender and the Cronulla Sharks, and they'll be riding that wave of confidence against a side who has, like I mentioned, lost 7 games in a row. I think the Dragons might, I think they're going to sneak an upset tomorrow afternoon, and we could be looking at Dragons getting back-to-back wins for the first time this season.
Absolutely. Anyway, and of course the NRLW, the Warriors will be away to the Tigers. Good win by the Warriors, and definitely they're looking this year looking like serious contenders for playoffs football there.
Yeah, 100%, and I think it comes to, like we mentioned at the start of the NRLW season, adding the players like the Stacey Walkers, the Mealy Hufungers, Gail Broughton and Patricia Maliepo moving into the hooker role. But it kind of adds just another, it adds a lot of spark into this team, and it gives the likes of Emma Pucky the chance to play 5'8 and be a little bit more on the ball, which as a player she loves to do a little bit more. It just allows the Wahine Warriors to just have a lot more space on the field, and they're playing a very free brand of football, and I think if they can continue to show the form that they have over the last couple of weeks, then they should walk away victorious this weekend.
Anyway, we move on to, it's a big weekend in Auckland Rugby League, and of course, starting on Saturday at North Harbour Stadium. Obviously the nearest venue for them. What's the story with Mount Smart number 2?
I believe it probably would be something to do with how probably how much shorter the field is at Mount Smart 2 compared to
North Harbour. Okay.
Compared to North Harbour, compared to, you could probably even compare it to Cornwall Park as well. Just having that shorter end goal doesn't, I think from my opinion, doesn't present the best product for what the local game could offer this weekend.
Fair enough. Anyway, 12:15 in the Phelan-Miss Shield, it's Richmond versus Pakuranga. And in the Sharman, we have Hibiscus Coast, who are the premiers there in the second division, taking on Howick. Their first game, we haven't mentioned a lot about this, but obviously Richmond, a few years ago they won the Fox, obviously couldn't field, and didn't have the number of sides to compete, but this would be a bit of redemption for Richmond if they win today.
Yeah, 100%. It could turn out to be quite the underdog story, to be fair. Like a lot of the other sides in Phelan, especially Pakuranga as well, we've had quite a strong side over the last few years in that Charmin Cup, Phelan Shield, whatever you want to call it. And Richmond, you know, they started the season barely able to pull out a side and now finding themselves in finals football in the Phelan Shield. So it could, what a turnaround for Richmond, and I think they should be working away quite comfortably in that one this afternoon.
And Hibiscus Coast versus Helmick. Hibiscus Coast have really looked the business in the Charmin.
Yeah, 100%. They've had a strong season, have the Hibiscus Coast Raiders. They had about a 3 to 4 week period where they had a few losses at home and travelling as well, but they've managed to find their feet again, and Helmick have kind of stormed home as of late. They took a couple of big wins in the last couple of rounds and really made the most of riding their confidence into final football. So they could make a challenge of that this afternoon, and I think we might see a tough one, but the somewhat home advantage for the Raiders might keep them home.
Absolutely. We go Sunday, and these are the big ones. It's a big day for Otahu Rugby League because they're in two of the grand finals. First one is the Steel Shanks Women's Premiership. Otahu versus Mangere East.
Yeah, look, Otahu have been, you know, the form team of the Steel Shanks Premiership for a large chunk of the season. Among the East, as we've mentioned, basically across the whole year, a team full of young superstars who could really challenge. They came out to Manurewa last week and stole the semi-final from the Marlins, which booked in their grand final spot. And I think they could make a good challenge of this one tomorrow, despite the Otahu side being very experienced. I think the Mangere East girls might be up for this one and make it tough, but Otahu will ride that experience and hopefully see them winning a premiership tomorrow afternoon.
And then we go to the Fox Memorial, one of the oldest trophies, and not only in Auckland in rugby league, but in Auckland sports. Otahu versus Mount Albert. That was the same finalist last year. I just see the same result. Otahu will go through the season unbeaten.
Yeah, I think we will see a similar result to last year. You know, if you see the rumble in the jungle again. And I think it could be a very similar contest to last year, to be fair. Otahu largely remaining the same side, and Mount Albert have a couple of nice additions in their halves with Api Pewharangi and Jules Baker, who came across and have made a world of difference for their side. I think it's going to be a close one again, and Mount Albert will stick in the ground, but I think Otahu will just be too strong and hopefully win two premierships this afternoon and will make for great celebrations at the club.
Absolutely will. And Joey, thank you so much for making yourself free. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy. Obviously, you'll be off to North Harbour today.
Yeah, I'll be out there tomorrow, not out there today. But you're fortunate enough to be a part of the commentary team for tomorrow afternoon. So, looking forward to enjoying that and being in the media tower and not being a part of the on-field antics, but still being a part of the game somewhat.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic game, and hopefully they get a good crowd out there. Joey, have a good weekend, mate, and we will catch up next week. Cheers, mate.
Always a pleasure, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Cheers, man. Okay, that was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. So next up, we're going to talk some darts with Jamie Roberts, and we'll just play a bit of a darts anthem, Chase the Sun. Wow, the darts, chase the sun, the theme of darts, anthem itself. Well, PDC New Zealand Masters is on at Spark Arena. We've had the first round, and unfortunately, we couldn't get a Kiwi to come through. I know two were very, very close in making it, but here to join us, our expert on darts, an all-round good bloke, good darts player. He obviously doesn't rate my darts ability, and he's dead right. Mr. Jamie Roberts, good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. What a fantastic night at Spark Arena.
Oh, brilliant, wasn't it?
It was, mate. I managed to get in there. The crowd was pretty electric. Just sort of shows us how much darts is growing across New Zealand. Good to see the international guys on stage. And the story of the night was a couple of the Oceanic players, stepping up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not the Kiwis. Yeah.
It wasn't the Kiwis. And then we look at the Kiwis' results, obviously. Gerwin Price just absolutely was just too good for Mark Cleaver, 6-1. Caelan Milne making his debut went down to Wade, and Wade 6-0. But, big experience for Caelan. Gian Van Veel was just too good for Johnny Tata, 6-1. But the two games, and I think both of these players are going to be kicking themselves. One would have to be Hopai Puha, who went down 6-5 to Johnny Clayton. And then Ben, the big rig, Ben Robb, went down 6-4 to Damon Heater. And, of course, the upset of the night was Raymond Smith over Stephen Bunting, 6-2. But I look at this, I think Kopai and I think Ben would be absolutely kicking themselves.
Oh, yeah, look, I think any sportsman, when you're in those situations, is going to be frustrated and annoyed, but they're big boys. They'll step back and they'll figure it out. And I'm sure they've got a busy still a busy year ahead. It looks like probably Ben will be going to the Ali Pally this year with the amount of points he's got on the pro tours and stuff, which has been fully deserved. And so we'll look forward to that. But as you mentioned, there were big names still delivering. Gerwin Price winning that one over Cleaver, 6-1. James Wade cruising through at 6-0. Just unfortunately, Caden just had one of those nights up there. It's actually Caden's fourth time playing at the Darts Masters, Emma.
Oh, jeez, I apologise then.
That's okay. Yeah. Van Veen, he came over and I'm not sure when he got his stuff. It's only arrived in the last couple of days, but he probably looked the sharpest. I know Gezi's had a bit of a long flight over. They're still settling in. I've seen a few pictures of James Wade's breakfasts that he's been having, mate. He's found some good spots around town.
He certainly has, and I think he might have been going to, I think he was at Melba's at one point too, in the city, and I think, as you know, one of the guys, Robu, who's involved in the old darts crew I hang out with, so he would have had him in there, probably would have challenged him to a game of darts, now my old mate Rob,
Yeah, I'm sure Wadey would have been just happy with his breakfast and probably not bothered about playing darts at that point.
By the sounds of it, he's had a good breakfast. Raymond Smith over Stephen Bunting. Now, Bunting came in, and Raymond Smith, and we've had this chat, you think he is the dark horse in this tournament?
Yeah, I definitely do, and it actually doesn't surprise me at all that Raymond Smith, bet Stephen Bunting last night. He's just one of those niggly players that he's very methodical. He would have planned for this all week, right? He would have turned up to the venue and had a look around. He knows how to plan. He's a very, structured type of person. He would have been planning this for months. And it doesn't surprise me the amount of effort and his nickname is the Guru, so he puts a lot of mental into this game, and darts is mental, and if you're doing the time on the board, you got the mental edge. If you're throwing great darts, I think he averaged just under 199 or something like that. That's going to win against even your littlers on the day as well, mate. So he's really really impressive last night. So he sees Adam Leap tonight, which is the other Aussie that, that got through as well. I arrived at the arena just when that game was on. It was great. It was the second game of the night. And it went to a decider. And to see, it was one of those kind of games you have in your own backyard where if you're on the last leg, missing doubles, and then someone hits it, it was one of those kind of games. So it was, it was good. And so they face each other. So we're going to see, basically an Aussie semi-finalist at the very least. Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course then these are these are basically the games for today. Van Veen versus Johnny Clayton, Wade versus I think it's Rock, and Price versus Heater, Smith versus Leek.
Yeah, I'll just what do we got? That's the games, eh? Yeah, so Van Veen and Clayton, Wade and Rock, Price and Heater, and then Smith and Leek. I think Van Veen and Clayton's up first. Clayton, I thought he was like his nickname, mate, like a little ferret getting out of that game last night. Van Veen's looking pretty good, pretty decent. He's the world number two.
Yeah.
And then you've got Wadey and Rock. Yeah, look, Wadey's Rock was a little bit rocky as well last night at times as well. If Wadey can just, use his experience, but Rock gets better as tournaments go on as well. So you just don't know what he's going to bring. Price and Heta, that's going to be a cracker. Price doesn't like losing as a human, neither does Heta. And so let's just see if they can, last night it was all bro-bro with his, with Ben last night. Can Heta make that switch to do the job against Price? And Raymond Smith and Leek, look, that's actually going to be quite an interesting game because you've got Raymond Smith, who just likes being up there, getting the job done, and he hates, no antics or anything like that. Whereas Leek, we saw last night, he likes giving it a few celebrations and a few arm movements in the air. So it could be a funny little game, that last one. Yeah.
And when you look at the overall atmosphere, I always thought when it went to Spark it would lose its atmosphere, but when it went from Henderson to Spark, I thought it would lose its atmosphere, but the people are saying, apart from the usual moans about the price of beer, is that it's actually it's a great atmosphere down there.
Yeah, I think the crowd got value for money, There were some upsets, there was a bit of drama. And it's set up for a brilliant finals night. Whether you're serious darts player, just love a great spectacle. The tournament has something for everyone. It's good. You saw everyone getting into it with the dressing up and stuff like that. I think because it's still quite new to the the crowd that's going there, right? They don't see enough of it. They don't really know how to hype up. Probably when the Kiwis need a bit of, a bit of backing and big moments, they're sort of just watching and, it will come though, it will come.
I have to say that, when we look back at it, obviously this year we didn't have your Luke Littlers here, but the actual, the quality is very, very good this year.
Yeah, it is. It is good. People love seeing new faces on there as well. So, no, it's really good, and they do it well with the meet and greets and the lead up to it as well. So, no, it's definitely watch the space, man. It's definitely grown. And later on in the year, they'll be playing the ANZ Premier League as well, which is between the Kiwis and the Aussies. So, there's an event on in Auckland as well. I believe it's in October.
Okay, well, that sounds brilliant. And where's that going to be at, Jamie?
It's in Auckland. I can't pin the venue right now. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's to be announced as well, too. So, anyway, we will might as well. Well, Jamie, enjoy the tournament. Obviously, you think you're probably backing Raymond Smith as the dark horse to win this tournament.
Yeah, I'll go Raymond Smith as a dark horse, but before these guys even threw a dart yesterday, my pick was Gerwyn Price to win the whole tournament.
Gerwyn Price, he's always there or thereabouts. Jamie, thanks so much, mate. It's always great to have a chat, and we hopefully will be doing it more during the year. As we know, when I call you, I say it's that time of the year, Jamie. Perfect. And you go, yes, and it's always good fun having the chat, and we really enjoy your analysis on that. So thanks so much.
All right, man. You have a good Saturday, mate. Bye,
cheers,
everyone.
Mate. Cheers. That was Jamie Roberts. Fantastic, isn't he? Anyway, that was brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard, and there's so many surprises, so many unexpected surprises. So cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So contact enterprise.co.nz. Okay, next up, we're going to talk a bit of football with Seamus Martin.
You're strong, strong. Die, die, ego, darling, darling, let's go. Die, die, ego, darling, darling, let's go.
Come follow your desire. When there's a will, there's a way. You're the owner of that fire. No one can take it away.
Sweat and blood to write your story. That is how you pave the way.
The highs and lows, all the tears and the pain.
You've been there through it all, been through it all. Just do it again. Now you get to believe, I believe, 'cause you know what it takes to believe in my dream. At the top of your game, feel it, got everything you need it. Now bring it like you mean it, just like you mean it.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Okay, if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on the Auckland property market, well, there's a team that operate out of the Barford and Thompson office in Epsom. It's the team of Robert and Deborah Thompson. They will give you the best advice, get the best results, whether you're looking to sell your first, whether you're looking to sell your long-term home or buy your first home, or looking to buy that investment property, or looking for advice to get on this property market. They're both very, very professional, and they're both brilliant people to deal with. This is Robert's number, 021-737-949, r.thompson@barfords.co. If you can't get hold of Robert, get hold of Deborah. Her number is 021-673-600, d.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Well, here to join us, as he always joins us every Saturday, Seamus Martin. Good morning to you.
Good morning. That song you played, the opener, takes me back to the World Cup over in North America. Old Shakira there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I can tell you something right now. It was a wonderful time. Now it's all over and done with. We get back to normality. And of course, last week, I think if we were to watch women's football, we possibly saw one of the best displays by a women's team ever to come onto these shores. Chelsea 7. Auckland FC 11, Invitational 11-0, and Chelsea just proved what a team that plays week in, week out in a good competition can do.
Yeah, phenomenal performance, wasn't it? It was excellent, excellent display of football. Great for the Chelsea Football Club brand, I think, as well, to extend not only the men's team but also the women's team, and for people to get a first-hand look, even for the young girls that are in the crowd there, to get a first-hand look at some of the best players in the world. I think the match result was never in doubt going into it. A scratch 11 against one of the best teams in the world, as you rightly put out. It was never going to be a really competitive fixture. I think it was excellent for Auckland FC to take a step forward in putting a senior women's side out, but the whole storyline was how good Chelsea were, and they underlined that midweek in Australia with a 3-0 thumping of the A-League women's all-stars teams in Sydney as well. A real a real talking point for me was 15,000 plus crowd at Eden Park. And again, just to underline it, getting to see the best players in the world live in the flesh, I think it was an excellent advertisement for football in the country, and great to have it off the back of Tottenham coming here, off the back of the World Cup, and then looking ahead, the A-League kicking off in a few months' time, the Premier League kicking off shortly. We've got All Whites fixtures confirmed for New Zealand, so this momentum keeps going. And a little byline out of it, you know, the Wellington Phoenix confirming the signing of Abby Ersig, who it was great to see her back on New Zealand soil. I think she will benefit from week in, week out football. I thought Mackenzie Barry putting on the rival Auckland FC shirt was excellent. But big talking point out of Wellington this week, the signing of Tamika Yallop, the Matilda legend, coming across and joining her wife Kirsty Yallop, the former football fern who was assistant coach for Auckland FC, and living in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and playing her football in Wellington, which is another huge statement from Bev Priest.
Oh yeah, for Bev Priestman, she is. I think now the reality is for this Phoenix women's side. Yes, we've been to a grand final. Now we want to win one for this A-League franchise.
Oh, definitely. And look, I had the pleasure of being able to commentate the game with Bev, and just pick her brain a little bit. She teased, a big signing in the works, and I tried to press her as to who that would be. And she said, look, you're just going to have to wait with everybody else. But, I see they've also released a few players. I think Macy Fraser, by mutual consent, I think that, that's a few non-football things on her horizon that, have sparked her interest. And I think she's going to pursue other pursuits. But I thought, well, I was a little bit disappointed, if I'm honest, in the release of Lara Wall, the young football fern left back. I thought she's been a really excellent performer, but you probably just can't fit the stars that Bev is putting together. You've got to fit again Samba. You've got Michaela Woods, who played midweek for the All Stars there. Pia Vlock. It does shape and bode to be a really exciting season for Wellington Phoenix fans down there in the capital with their women's side.
And I think the reality is, when Auckland FC, you need to start getting this, start making moves toward getting this A-League woman side together, because that gives young New Zealand footballers an opportunity to play in the A-League. Anyway, moving on to the Kate Shepherd Cup. Well, it's a couple of big games, and the first one, we've got Kashmir Tech versus the Wellington Phoenix Reserves, and the other semi-final, it's Eastern Suburbs versus Ellerslie. Now, Kashmir Tech, it's a big weekend for them down there, and I know our old good friend Mr. Garth Galloway would be very excited.
Yeah, huge weekend for Kashmir Tech with their team in both the Kate Shepherd Cup and the Chatham Cup semi-finals. Talk as well, if those two teams both go through, of New Zealand football's Cup Finals Day being held down at One New Zealand Stadium, the new football facility down in Christchurch, which would be huge. So there'll be a lot of mainland football fans hoping that Kashmir Tech can do the double. In terms of the Kate Shepherd Cup, I think that's the hardest of the two fixtures to pick. Kashmir Tech up against Wellington Phoenix. In that one, my gut says Wellington Phoenix should be too strong for Kashmir Tech, but I know Kashmir have been strengthened by, you know, the likes of Lara Wall playing her football back in Canterbury now as well. So I'm going to tip the mainlanders. I'm going to tip Kashmir Tech to do win over Wellington Phoenix. I think Eastern Suburbs versus Ellerslie, I look at the league table, and Eastern Suburbs top of the women's premiership up here in the northern region, Ellerslie in fifth place, away back from fourth. I think form this season has Eastern Suburbs making that final, but it's a real toss of a coin for me as to who they'll play, whether it is Kashmir Tech or Wellington, but I am going to lean towards Cash Tech. In the Chatham Cup, the men's knockout, Kashmir Tech play Napier City Rovers, which is another huge clash on paper. Two teams with really strong Chatham Cup pedigree. I think Cash Tech could win that one. They've been an outstanding side over the last few years, and I just think at home maybe is going to be an edge over Napier City. And Fensible's Nelson Suburbs, I tell you what, Eamon, I'm finding it really difficult to pick this one. Nelson Suburbs coming a long way. I saw they had to give a little push to get themselves to help support their trip to Auckland. It's a match under lights at Fensible's. who rolled Auckland City in the quarterfinal. I think Fencey starred as favourites in that one, but I could see an upset coming with Nelson Suburbs and us ending up with an All-South Island Chatham Cup final, which would be huge for the game down there.
I think it would be huge for New Zealand football, and I think, with anything now, for any possible World Cup qualifiers, I can see them being moved away from the likes of Eden Parks and the likes of Henry Stadium and going down to Christchurch. And the other thing too, and I know this, that it's a pipe dream they have down there, but this may further support as in the future to have an A-League team based there.
Well, totally, and I see midweek as well, OFC have confirmed the 8 Pro League teams will return for the next season, so that does include South Island United, who parted ways with Rob Sherman, their inaugural coach. So, yeah, if Cash Tech end up doing the double in the Cups here, it really does strengthen, you know, that support or that push for the South Island to have an A-League team. And let's not forget, whenever A-League football has been taken down to Christchurch, before it was in the undercover stadium, it's always been really well supported. Wellington Phoenix have carved a really strong partnership with Christchurch City Council. If you take a step back, there's talk of a South Island Rugby League franchise going in there, so a lot of movement happening in the mainland. But in terms of these two knockout cup, set of ties, I think Cash Tech could do the double today, which would be a huge day down there. And I think Eastern Suburbs and the women, and Fencibles and the men for the Chatham Cup.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move on to what was it? We move on to the Northern League men's, and it's a shortened round of both men's and women's. Well, the first one's going to be easy, and I'm going to say it's probably going to be a draw. Melville versus Auckland FC Reserves.
Well, look, I picked Melville to beat Western Springs, I should say, last weekend under lights, and it was an unlikely tip, but it came through. So I'm going to say Melville goes 3-3 today. I know the Port are bringing a big contingent down to Hamilton, but I think Melville should win over Auckland FC Reserves. They're in hot form.
Now, I hope those Port fans are nice to you and they don't give you a hard time and start saying start making songs up about you, because I'll sort them out for you.
Okay. Well, I'll be hiding in the corner of Gower Park, don't worry. I'll be incognito. They won't recognise me with my hood up and my fake, I was going to say fake moustache, but it won't matter with my beard on my face. But
yeah, well, I was thinking, I was a bit concerned you shaved off the beard. That is one of your most revealing things of you, Seamus, the big beard.
Oh, look, the skin on the face hasn't seen the light of day for a number of years. But look, hey, anyway, let's go back to some of these.
Yeah, we better talk football. Bay Olympic versus Eastern Suburbs
is the next one I've got, isn't it? Yeah, look, I think East could go up to second with a win here, with Auckland City away at the OFC Champions League in Fiji. So I think Eastern Suburbs win that one. Birkenhead versus Tauranga City, one-way traffic. Yep. Birkenhead win that one for me. And Monaco versus Western Springs, or Monaco rooted to the foot of the table. I think Western Springs win that one pretty comfortably. Just touching on Auckland City, they are away at OFC competition. A 2-1 win over the Solomon Islands champion Central Coast in their first game, backed up with a 1-0 win over Tiga Sport from New Caledonia.
Well, their last good win.
It was a very good win. Last minute, Mario Illich header on the back post. And their last fixture against AS Venus of Tahiti coming up on Sunday. They're already in the semi-finals by virtue of those first two wins. Venus struggled 3-0 loss against Central Coast. So expect to see Auckland City maybe make some changes, but still have enough to defeat the Tahitian champions and try and push for what I think off the top of my head would be a 14th straight OFC Champions League
title. Wow. That is huge. That is huge. And all credit to the people down at Auckland City FC, because I think they do a wonderful, wonderful job. Anyway, just one game this weekend in the Northern League Women's, and I'm going to pick up, and the spoiler alert, we're picking a Melville victory because it's FC Tauranga Moana versus Melville.
Yeah, it's a spicy one, this one. A little battle of a little Waibop football battle, a little derby, a Kaimai, a battle of the Kaimais, as we call it down here. No love lost between these two clubs. I think, Melville just shading Tauranga Moana in terms of positions on the table. I think Melville should be too strong for Tauranga, but stranger things have happened. At the moment, they've had two clashes already. We went over the hill and beat them there, and then they came over the hill and beat us at home. So this is the third one to see who takes the lollies in terms of that local rivalry. But I think the team in red, Melville, should be too strong for Tauranga Moana.
Anyway, we come to our prediction. Next week, this Sunday, we have the Charity Shield between Arsenal and Manchester City. who were the FA Cup winners. But this is where we will do our EPL predictions, and then we start the EPL next week, which will either be a great success or will be situation usual, our usual 3 out of 10. Anyway, looking at this, Seamus, like, I look at the, we'll start off with the relegation. Who are you, who's likely to be relegated in your thoughts?
Look, I find it hard to go past the three teams that have been promoted. I feel like a broken record when we go through our EPL picks week after week, and I'm saying things like, it's a step up from the Championship into the Premier League. I did it last year, I can't see the three teams staying up again. So in terms of starting, I'm going to say that Hull City, Ipswich Town and Coventry City are the three to go down in my mind. I do have some fears over Nottingham Forest. I'm going to be open about it. I think Everton could struggle this season as well.
Leeds.
Newcastle, for me, I'm not liking all the players that have left there. And Leeds and Fulham are the other two that I've got in that relegation conversation. Yeah. So, but I think the three for me, the three starters to fill the bottom three positions before a ball has been kicked, are Hull City, Ipswich and Coventry. What about you, Eamon?
I have gone for Hull, Ipswich and I've gone for Leeds. I think Coventry will stay up there and all just by the skin of their teeth. You're dead right about Fulham and Nottingham Forest. I've got some major concerns there because they've lost losing Elliot Anderson is going to be huge for Nottingham Forest, and all they don't need now is another bid for Morgan Gibbs-White, and then that could really spell disaster for them.
Yeah, look, I share those concerns, but I've got a number of teams sort of in that mid to low pack as well. I think Sunderland are going to find it hard to repeat the feats of last season. I think Crystal Palace, they're another one that are probably in that conversation. Everton are a side who really haven't done a lot in the last few seasons. They haven't skirted directly with relegation, but I just wonder whether this is the year that they might have a Tottenham and really struggle up until the final stages of the season. I just out of that side of Merseyside, the blue half of Merseyside, I think they might struggle as well. But I've got them finishing middle of the pack, so that's where I see the relegation fight going.
Anyway, we look at our top four to top six. Obviously, we look at first of all, we're going to go for our top four. Now, this is what I picked. I picked Arsenal to win it again, Manchester City, Manchester United, and Chelsea to make the fourth.
Big call. I agree with you in terms of Arsenal being able to defend their title. I think they're the team to beat. I think Man City will be their closest challengers as well. I can't go past Liverpool, although looking at their pre-season results, where they can't read too much into it, I think that might be a year of adjustment to the new manager's style, but I still have them finishing in third, and I've got Man United sitting in fourth. That, for me, leaves just outside the top four, but in the conversation for UEFA Champions League positions. Chelsea, Aston Villa, and my huge mover and shaker is Tottenham. I think Tottenham could be in the conversation for the top six.
I think they could be
based on the signings and based on the manager and the manager's style. So they're the ones I've got an asterisk by their name as being the ones to really shoot up the table this season.
Well, at least one thing, we haven't got West Ham there, so we're not going to get tired of by the West Ham. Sorry, Speedy, but we'll see you next season, so we'll wait till that come back up next season. But I've actually...
Exactly right.
I've got at the end of the show Andy Thompson, who is a huge Spurs supporter, and Miles Davis on my panel, so I put down EPL, and I've got a very taunt text by one of them, and I think you'll know who it was, who cares, but... So I think this is going to be a wonderful season, and I just look forward to just seeing where this competition goes. But Arsenal look very, very strong.
Yeah, I think the stat is only three teams in the Premier League era, or maybe even in recent years, maybe I'm doing it as service, have been able to defend the Premier League title. So it's not easy to go back to back in this competition, and I think though Arsenal do start as favourites with Arteta at the helm. Whether there'll be a drop-off with the departure of Pep Guardiola from Man City remains to be seen. I think that, that possibly is a question that needs to be answered by Man City early on in the season. But, yeah, I can't go past Tottenham. And then, you know, there are a couple of real outsiders like Bournemouth. Can they repeat the feat without Areola in charge?
Yeah.
Brighton and Brentford are sort of mid-table teams for me, but they've also got the potential to boost up the table. But I like your Chelsea shout. I think with the addition of the experience of Henderson, Danny Welbeck, that's nearly 1,000 appearances between the two of them into that side, which was very young. They could be another mover and shaker. If you remember last year, I tipped Chelsea as a smoky to win the title, and that blew up in my face. So maybe this is the year, and I've got my predictions out by 1 year.
Yeah, well, you might be right this year, actually. So yeah. Anyway, Seamus, I look forward to having a chat to you next week, and we look forward to doing our first round of the EPL, and I look forward to the comments back to us about our picks. I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Well, I'm sure Robert Thompson is licking his lips with anticipation. Every week.
Yeah, he will be. I will get the text 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. I'll leave it at.
Appreciate the opportunity as always, Eamon. Thanks so much.
Cheers, mate. Have a good weekend. Seamus Martin, absolutely brilliant, isn't he? Anyway, it's always a bit of fun. Next up, we've got Mr. Piper, as we're going to talk a bit of netball, what's happening. So we'll get on to that now. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Well, I have to say it's been another week of own goals, especially for Netball New Zealand. We look towards what's happening, if there's going to be a competition in 2027. The talk is, there's talk of the Mowbray-Williams combination coming in, but there's also some big rumours coming out, which I've heard in the last few days. Here to talk to us, we all know him as the Mouth of the South, and we do have a shout and a laugh at each other. He knows his netball. He is a former board member of Netball New Zealand. He's also a player agent. He really knows what... He's in the know with most things. I've got a few questions to ask him. Lee Piper, good morning.
It's good to see Billy Joel kicking off the show. That's the sort of music that the old Pipesy likes.
Yeah, well, I thought so. You know, I thought I had to sweeten you up because usually I get criticised about a lot of things about my music, my show, and me in general with you. But yeah, we might as well rip into it. Well, I'm going to say this right now. The rumours coming out is that there might be a competition. It will be 5 teams because the Stars are gone, and it will be 3 rounds. This is what I'm hearing, and possibly the TV rights may be going to Sky on 3 now. What are you hearing, Lee?
Uh, similar, I think. There's a lot more to it than that. But if you just simplistically look at next year, then yes, I think you'll see a five-team competition. I think you'll see three rounds. I understand they've really taken it to market, including Māori TV as well. So they're really just looking for a broadcast partner. I don't know the ins and outs of that broadcast deal, and I don't know if it will be significant. It certainly won't plug, you know, to quote Jenny Warren, the new CEO of Netball New Zealand, the $6 million hole that they've kind of got themselves into. But I think there will be a competition next year. Now, what that looks like from the players' perspective in terms of their ability to, I don't know, maybe get paid, I don't know. We've run a three-round competition before, including, to your point, the Stars, who won't be in it. It was quite long and tedious and a bit boring, to be honest. And it'll also depend on the depth, which we'll talk to in a second, around
who's in what team.
Because if we ended up with a couple of teams being very good and the rest being sort of fighting it out, it'll be pretty monotonous. And what we ended up with this year, which was quite good, was we ended up with, you know, the Steel, the Tactics, the Mystics and the Stars, pretty good. And the Magic and the Pulse on their day, capable of upsetting those first four. So it was actually a pretty good comp. And when you look at it, no one was, you know, even in the final series, the Mystics started to get there, didn't they? But the Steel were, you know, really good. They lost to the Tactics, they beat the Tactics. But remember, they only beat the Magic by an overtime goal in Dunedin. So there was lots of ins and outs. I just worry three rounds, that's a lot of netball if it becomes a bit tedious. Now, as I say, what will be the interesting part is, one, what does the player pool look like in terms of players and payments? And two, if that payment, I understand the payment pool will be either remain the same, which would have to be independently funded, and that, I'm not sure where that's coming from, or two, it'll be 50% of what it was. Well, remember, they already took a 20% hit this season. That means they're taking a 50% hit on top of a 20% hit. That's a lot. And then it's who's around.
Well, this is the rumour that's going around. 90% of the squad, and or maybe all of the squad, will not be part of it. They've rumoured most of them, if all of them, have signed to Australian franchises. Some are possibly going to the UK. Also hearing some fringe Silver Ferns are considering moves to Australia as well too, because they feel that this competition is taking too long. We're also hearing several former Silver Ferns are saying they've had a gutsful, they're going to sit out the season. These are the rumours that are going round at the moment, Lee. And to be quite honest with you, you don't have any prominent Silver Ferns. This makes New Zealand netball's bargaining power harder when they go for TV rights.
Yeah, well, I would say that they're not rumours, mate. That's fact. And I can tell you that of that Glasgow 12, so the 12 that went to Glasgow, yep, I would say they're all gone. So I don't think there's... my understanding is they're all gone. So that would be the entire team. So to your point, then your television product is just definitely not as good, because you're saying, well, our 12 best players are not playing. And I go back to it, just as a sidebar here, which is what's really disheartening is a few things. One, little Susie, who grows up now, she's 9. Her favourite player is Karen Bergen. Karen Bergen's playing in Australia. You know, little Betty's growing up. She's 12. Her favourite player, you know, is Grace Nowicki. She's in Australia. And on it goes. And so that's not good, where your heroes, which are the players that play in the black dress, are not playing in a competition in your own, that you can't go to see. You can't go anywhere and go, right, well, I'm going to go and watch these players play. So I think that's extremely disappointing, and so I'm not sure where they go from that. So that's one point. 2 point, you raised a good point. The television rights there go, well, you saw fans up there, so that's then worth less. True. Then you go, okay, well, who's left? Now, again, not rumour, fact, there are players that I have said, we're out. We're just, I've got to go get a job. I can't live and wait, waiting for a competition that may or may not happen. And if it does, I'll be 50% worse off than I was this year. And I've got, like all of us, bills to pay, mortgages, food, family, jobs, housing, the whole shooting shenangle. I can't afford that. I need to go. And that's the problem with this, is that those players, and there are many, they're the guts of it. Like, you know, you have your elite players and you've got your young players, but there's a whole range in the middle that are on okay-ish money to survive, but not great money, who are now going, well, I'm out. So I just don't know what it's going to look like. You take the top 12 out, then you've got a whole lot of young players. But where are we going with this? So there's all of those things that you've pretty much said are rumours are actually true. So I don't know. And then, of course, there's the 2028. That's coming in. And I think, look, I think that the Williams-Mowbray thing is good. I think the sport needs a shake-up. I think these guys will come in. Neither of them know much about netball, so that'll be. I think that's actually a good thing. They'll look at it through commercial eyes. What's really disappointing in this scenario, and I don't want to get on my ranting high horse already, is that, as you and I have discussed on the show many times, this could have been discussed and sorted 4 years ago. But yep. these problems are not new. It hasn't suddenly crept up. These problems have been around, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years. Sky said 3 years ago, we're out. They convinced them to stay another year. They did. So at that point, you're 3 years ago, you know that your major broadcast deal and your cash cow is going. What happened? Nothing. They didn't do anything. They talked about it, but nothing happened. So private ownership coming in could have happened then. I understand that there will be private investors allowed now. But it's really too late to save what we've just talked about. Then they get up in a deal with TVNZ where they paid in excess of seven figures, so over $1 million, for the production of something where they were receiving money, now they're paying money. How do we end up here? And then, as I also say, the flip to that is, well, even if we're free to air, the numbers are pretty good, how do we not make more money? So all of those things are not good. And I just go back to what I say. These are the key facts. No Silver Fern will be playing in the ANZ Premiership next year. A lot of the middle players will give it away and wait. We're very unsure about what 2028 looks like. Great to see some investment and great to see the tree being shaken there a little bit. We don't even know if ANZ, because the rumour was that they weren't going to be involved. We don't know if that's secured and we don't have a broadcast deal. Those are the facts. And that is not a good position to be in.
That is a terrible position to be in. No corporate sponsors. It's absolutely, you know what? It's just like we hear all the speculations. For the last, you know, for the time I've had you on there speaking about netball, we've had some positives to speak about, especially with the Commonwealth Games, etc. But we've had the negatives outweigh the positives when we speak about netball, especially in New Zealand at the moment.
Look at the Noel Ng debacle.
Oh, absolutely.
Could you write a script worse for your sport than that? I mean, let's be honest. She comes in. They had to remember, she had that team, hadn't played a game with her for nearly 2 years when they had the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
She then pulls the masterstroke, which everyone agrees with, of Mila Raylo Buchanan at wing defence, which was a sensational play. The girl had never played there at all, ever. And suddenly she gets told, Mila, we think you're a wing D. And what a player she ended up being. Nearly, in my view, the player of the tournament.
Yeah.
Just changed the whole way they played, caught everybody by the hop, and they bolted it. Like, they bolted it. They would have beaten Australia. Now, what's also happened, despite what I just said, the good news story out of this, mate, is that the Silver Ferns will be rock stars going into next year's World Cup. Because... Yeah. Rise of Jamaica. That's not a fluke. That's a lot of those Jamaican players playing in the Australian League. Now, what you're saying is our entire team is now playing in that Australian League. Our entire team. So, of the 80 players that are going to be stripped, 12 of them will be Silver Ferns. That's over 10% of the take. The exposure to that is beyond. And so that'll be huge for the sport and huge for the Ferns. And Noel Ng will be rubbing her hands together. She's already given Netball New Zealand the massive middle finger by winning the gold medal. She might have done that with the left hand. The right hand is out and poised because that's where her pliers are going. And I don't know this, but I would say probably with her blessing.
Absolutely, and it's going to be interesting a couple of years down the track after the World Cup when she does bring out a book, which I believe she will be bringing out a book. Rumours again. Just one thing, just in finishing up here, Lee. Anna Nuoval, the death of her this week, one of the inaugural players in the first Coca-Cola Cup with County's Manukau comments, but really a former Silver Fern, a former Silver Fern captain.
Yeah, tragic for the sport, and it's my age, so it's even worse. So, yeah, look, a great ambassador. I actually got the opportunity to meet her on a few occasions, and lovely, lovely human being, and a real tragedy, not only for the sport, but for her and her wider whānau and family. So, yeah, a real loss over the week, and, much more to be said apart from that. She was a great steward, a really beautiful human, and, yeah, will be sorely missed. And, as I say, had the opportunity to meet her a couple of times in her playing career. And, yeah, as I say, it was a bit of a shock this week for those of us that love the game. And I'm sure that the netball community is feeling it.
Absolutely. Well, Lee, you have a good weekend. We will catch up. I'll give you a call next week at some point.
Oh, look, nothing will excite me more than to hear from you.
Well, mate, you know, stop calling me. That's it. Stop. On that note, Pipes, have a good day. Cheers, mate. Ah, Lee Piper. Always good fun. Well, next up, we've got the battle with Miles Davis and Andy Thompson. We'll just play a bit of music here.
Situation. Right people, right time, just the wrong location.
Welcome everyone back to the sports weekend. Well, Miles Davis, I've left a message for him. He is not picking up, so I'll keep on talking, but I might as well get to it right now. We've got the great man himself from the West Coast, rugged West Coast farmer, as he likes to call himself. Caught up with him a couple of weeks ago. We had a couple of beers before the Spurs game. Andy Thompson, good morning.
Good morning, Amon. Good morning. What's Miles? Is he running for cover? Is he? You told me he was up for this. Is he just ducking?
I think he's a bit of a pussy,
Mr. Davis. Bit of a pussy.
Well, I think there's going to be several conversations. I've texted him, and there's no thing. So he's either left his phone at home or something like that, or else I think when I put down EPL, I think he was probably for no, because they're not in it this year.
No, but
let's have a look at the week that has been, and we look ahead to the weekend. The All Blacks on this great rivalries tour. Now, I'm going to be straight to the point, Andy. I got up and watched that Sharks game, and to be honest with you, a very young and experienced Sharks team, but generally they were poor. The All Blacks were poor in the first half, terrible conditions. It gives you hope if you're coming up to the pension, as you're closer to the pension than I am, that it gives you hope to see Maha Nonu running out there. But then this weekend we've got the Bulls. The All Blacks have the Blue Bulls in Pretoria.
Let me just go back by saying, Amon, that you and I are both of the vintage where rugby tours, when you went on a tour to another country, you played midweek games.
And you had the strongest team.
Back in the day. Yep. And you took a squad and you had your B team, you had your A team, you had your... You know, I am just so pleased to see a genuine tour. I know we got 44 players there. Like, that's over two teams. So you've basically got two and a half players or two players for every position. But the fact that they've gone there, they're playing midweek games, they've got four tests at this time of the year is something pretty special, something that I didn't think actually in a professional age nowadays we would ever see again. And the fact that this is happening, I think in the long term, I'm not going to say it's going to rival the British Lions, British and Irish Lions for anticipation, but I think it's going to come close. You know, like having the South Africans coming here, what is it, 2 years' time again to do something
similar?
Yeah,
that'll be fantastic. Yeah, that'll be great.
Just imagine, just think about that, how excited we're going to be to see the South Africans playing, you know, their team playing the Crusaders or playing the Blues, you know, or playing the Highlanders down there in Dunedin. You know, like, it's not, I don't think it'll ever quite match the British and Irish Lions, but I just think the actual concept of this is just probably most exciting thing that I think that's happened in rugby and international rugby or for the All Blacks for probably 20 odd years. I just think that they've just nailed this. Yeah, a couple of weak teething problems. Some of those South African teams, particularly the Sharks were a bit weak. The weather conditions weren't great. But that Stormers game, that was a great game. And I think playing the Bulls at Loftus Versfeld, 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, you know, the Blue Bulls, as they like to call them. Graham Thorne played for the Blue Bulls. Did you know that back in the day?
I certainly did. Yeah. Mr. Thorne played for them. This was minus before any of, for a certain generation that's listening, the younger generation, they wouldn't know who he was, or the ones that do remember him when he was the TV comments man for TVNZ, where he had the magnificent perm, Andy, but like your mullet.
Yeah, Thorny. Oh, well, I would have loved to have had a perm like Thorny had, to be honest. But
you generally like to have some hair. All right,
Amon. Come on, just settle down. Just settle down. but that team, like honestly, the up in the Transvaal, up on the Hove Veld, playing the Bulls, that if the All Blacks, this B team All Blacks, aren't on their game, they will come unstuck against these guys. These guys are massive, you know.
Yeah,
they're hardcore, hard bastards. And I'm actually looking forward to this game. I think it'll be an absolute ripper. And my question really is, and I put it on my show yesterday when we were talking about it, you know, I had Sports Freak on and Dave Worsley, and my question to them was, you know, do you think this All Black style of play, this Dave Rennie style of All Black play, is going to trouble the Springboks? And I'm just fascinated to see whether that this the style that we're seeing, this very fast pick and go, everyone's a halfback, everyone's a fullback, everyone's a first five, whether that is going to turn these South Africans around and whether they're going to be able to match it. I can't wait for this kickoff of that first test.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And we just had AJ Wetton on earlier. He's over for the first test. I've been speaking to a lot of people in South Africa. The anticipation is huge. Hey, listen, the MPC, I have to say, I love this competition, Andy. Or just before we go on to it, no surprise, Richie Mwanga is on the plane come Sunday to South Africa. To me, what part, if any part, does he play in this test series? Now, the reason I say this is Mwanga and Rennie have a good relationship, probably a better relationship than Mwanga ever had with Razor Robinson, which we're going to talk a little bit about. The biggest thing is, and what I see is that I think he is going to be on the bench for either the second or third test, Andy.
I think you're right. Here's the thing, though. So I always find it really interesting when people talk about the players that miss out. On a tour like this, injuries galore. We already seen it overnight with Caleb Clark. There will be injuries galore in these games. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one, maybe two players injured in the game against the Bulls coming up, right? We've got the first test, we've got the second test, we've got the third test. Why is he there? Because they want to get him in the structure, they want to get him in the system. He hasn't been in the All Blacks structure and system for two or three years now, right? So they need to bring him back into it, particularly this new system. I think definitely he'll be on the bench. Probably not the first test, depending on what happens, but probably the second. I agree with your second and third test. You just don't know what's going to happen with injuries. So I'm pleased to see him. I watched him quite closely in the Canterbury game last week when they took the shield off Otago. I thought he was good. He looked reasonably sharp. He didn't try anything too outrageous. He looked fit. He looked fitter than when he first came back. He certainly looked like he'd trimmed down and fitted up. So I think he'll be, he's a good get. And just with the injuries that'll come through, guaranteed injuries will come through, you want him there. You want him there on the squad.
First, Andy, MPC, I love this competition. I think it's been great. Now, at the beginning of this competition, I remember I was speaking to you and I felt North Harbour would struggle during this competition. We felt their structures that went up to, well, North Harbour had proved to me to be a bit of an idiot, but Northland, a big win over Taranaki. We've got a shield challenge. Richie Mwanga hopefully can keep the shield away from Bay of Plenty. The competition is fantastic, and of course, if Canterbury should defend the shield today, there is a really big challenge on Thursday, and it's Northland. And I'm hearing some of the talk out of Northland. They're feeling confident, and I'm from Christchurch. You live in Christchurch. I really think for this competition, and especially the Ranfurly Shield, I'd like to see Northland take it.
Oh, without doubt. Look, I'm. When you say I live in Christchurch, I domicile in Christchurch, unfortunately, some of the time. I'm standing here at the Parara Pony Club, actually, not far from, just out of Greymouth right now. And just before we do get on to MPC, Heartland Rugby kicks off today. 1 o'clock, we've got the Might of Red and White West Coast up against Whanganui at John Surgeon Park. And that's where I'm going this afternoon. That's my rugby picks. I'm looking forward to that. But coming back to MPC, Northland, 47-0, was it? Last night. That was this phenomenal score.
42-0.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I didn't actually watch the full game, but I just couldn't believe it when I saw that score. There's something special happening there. So, yeah, don't put it past them. But this Canterbury team, they're a pretty good team. They are a pretty good team. Without Mwanga, I don't think they lose very much, to be honest. They will come back, and they'll be very, very hard to beat. Who have they got this afternoon? I just don't have the draw in front of me. Canterbury, the Shield Challenge.
Bay of Plenty.
That's right. Yeah. So look, I think they'll be too strong for Bay of Plenty, but you've got to say Hawke's Bay are looking very, very sharp as well. I mean, they put my Marco to the sword well and truly last week. They were 20-0, 30-0 up after about 19 minutes. So, you know, like. What I do love, and I think everyone says the same thing, it's not that startling, but what I do love about the MPC is every year it throws up some new players who we've never seen or heard of before. You know, guys make their make their name, and then they go through, they pick up a super contract, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys, they get a career out of it. So I think that's the beauty. That is absolutely the beauty of the NPC. And the passion that it brings, unfortunately, I'm not sure if that passion really extrudes to Wellington at the moment. They're pretty poor, and their crowd's even worse. So did you see that last night? Yeah, Sky showed a drone footage of a couple of weeks before. They tried to make the excuse, oh, we were just short of it. But, yeah, no, that's pretty average as well, that I would have thought.
To be honest with you, why the hell are they going back to Henry Stadium? They went to Pororua. They had at least they had some sort of atmosphere out there.
Yeah.
You go there, and let's be quite honest. Would you want to go to Henry Stadium on a Thursday night, let's say if you work in Wellington, after work, and just remember, and this is what I've spoke to Matt Buck about before, just remember, half the Wellington workforce were public servant, half of them are gone, so you haven't got them. It's a cold, miserable night, it's a Thursday night, most people are going home and they're going to watch it on TV. Nobody wants to go to Henry Stadium to watch an NPC match. Now, Wellington need to think of better ideas, go back to Pororua or go to somewhere smaller. Maybe see if the Basin Reserve is compatible for rugby.
Oh, the problem with Henry Stadium, even when it's full, it's a circle, it's a soccer field, it's a cricket ground. It's not a rugby field, it's not a league field. You're too far away from the action the whole time, you know. Like, I've been there for, I think I've only been to one rugby test there. It's god-awful, it really is. It is a terrible, terrible stadium. It's purpose-built for everything except rugby, and I agree with you. Take rugby games somewhere where, especially games like this, an NPC game, I mean, the atmosphere would be non-existent. You'd have to be the most die-hard, passionate Wellington supporter to even bother getting there and watching that game. That Thursday night, though, game, Amon, let's be honest, that is designed for television. That's all that's designed for.
I just feel that, you know, for Wellington supporters, like Thursday night, like I'm going to tell you something. The big advantage between Wellington and Christchurch is Christchurch will have has a roof on it. The biggest thing is on Thursday night, you'll have a whole lot of Cantabrians. And once they get over Bay of Plenty, thinking, geez, this Northland, this match could be a good one. So they may, I think you'll see at least the 15,000 there compared to about and they said it was about 1,000. Absolute BS. It was probably about 100 people at best there. Anyway, moving on, Andy, the Warriors, they've got a big match tonight against the Broncos. And last week we had our panel of Sean Summerfield and Mark Watson, and one of the things they said to me, and I know you live down in Christchurch, but in Auckland, we're saying that Auckland now was really turning into a rugby league city. There was a poll done on one of the newspapers. What would you want? The All Blacks winning the Rugby World Cup or the Warriors to win and the NRL? And the Warriors winning the NRL has come out big in Auckland. This is huge. And I think for the Warriors, this is a big match because I think the Broncos are still smarting after that Super Round loss to the Warriors.
Look, let's just go back to that Rugby League Warriors debate. It does bore me a little bit, Rugby League Rugby debate. It does bore me a little bit in the way that these games are two different games. You've got two different crowds. You've got two different sort of structures, organisations, the way that it's played, the way that it's run. Do you want the All Blacks to win the Rugby World Cup or do you want the Warriors to win the NRL? Well, the All Blacks have won the Rugby World Cup three times. They haven't won it for the last two, but the Warriors have never won the NRL. Of course you'd say, I want the Warriors to win the NRL. I don't think it's a debate about whether rugby is better or NRL better, or league is better. It's just the nature of it. Yes, if you said to me, if I'd taken part of that, I would have said, I want the Warriors to win the NRL more than I want the All Blacks to win the Rugby World Cup, because we've won the damn thing three times, you know. So the crowds, the way the game is structured, I can see what people say. It's a shame that the Warriors don't have a bigger stadium. That would be because they've sold the thing out till the end of the season. Coming back to this game tonight against the Broncos.
Yep.
If the Warriors win this game, they go second on points difference. So they go second, and you've got to say that the Panthers, the wheels have fallen off. Graham Beasley said to me on the chat yesterday, he said the Panthers have lost 3 out of their last 5 games. And he reckons it'll be Roosters 1, Warriors 2, Panthers 3, which will be fantastic for the Warriors. It doesn't really matter whether you win the minor premiership. Yes, there's bragging rights, but it doesn't really matter. You do get home semis or home games all the way through.
You need to be there at the big dance in October. Let's be straight to the point. And you need to be there. And I think one of the things the Warriors have done is, I think it was last week, was a masterstroke bringing Metcalf back in, because we saw what a good player this guy Luke Metcalf is. You know, he's bided his time. He's played reserve. The Warriors were not going to release him early. And that was a masterstroke bringing him back, because he proved what a good player he was.
Well, the masterstroke is giving him a bit of a break. You know, like, he'll be fit. He looked keen. He did look a cut above. He was next level good last week. It'll be fascinating to see how he plays tonight. The problem with the Warriors in other years, you would have said, I would have almost guaranteed they would have lost this game. A banana skin game. A game they should have won. They should win on paper. Previous Warriors years, previous Warriors teams, you could almost guarantee that this is the sort of game that they would lose. You know, they always used to win the games that you couldn't, that the hard games, the ones you didn't think they'd win, and then the easy games that they should win, that's the one they'd lose. They've done that once so far this year, I think, and that was that game against the Bulldogs, when they just didn't fire a shot about 3 weeks ago. That was a shame. I think they've lifted. They must have had some pretty serious soul-searching after that loss. They looked awful that game, but certainly in the last 2 games they've really picked it up since then. So I think I hope that they will beat these Broncos. These Broncos are second last on the table, I think, Amon. So, you know, on paper they should absolutely smash them, but Warriors of old, I would be very nervous about a game like this. But with Metcalf in there, probably should be all right, I would have thought.
Anyway, any publicity is good publicity, and that's the old saying, Andy. Well, the Orcas made a bit of a bold statement by saying they're going to chase Razor Robinson. Well, it's just been confirmed that the Christchurch City Council have said, we don't want anything to do with yous. We're going with another bid as we try and get a South Island side in the NRL. To me, you know, I like Sir Graham Lowe. I think he's one of the real good buggers, and he's a great guy to talk to. But I look at that statement and I just thought, it was a silly statement to say that we're going to, absolutely silly. And I think some of these statements in the end have probably raised the ire of the City Council down there.
Well, look, there's a lot to go under this, there's a lot to come out about this one, I think, aim on this, this South Island NRL franchise. There's no doubt that the NRL would probably like it to go, you know, a second team in New Zealand. The thing is, you've got to wonder about it. Will they get any more eyeballs, you know, by having a second team in New Zealand? Or have they basically got the market saturated with the Warriors? You know, maybe a South Island team will create that parochialism. I mean, we looked what happened, obviously, with the football and Auckland AFC and the splash that they made. But I think it's a shame. To be honest, I think what is a shame is that these two organisations can't get together and put one united bid in. Obviously, there's personalities, there's money involved, there's people who want to run it, you know. But for me, I mean, if these numbers are $100 million is what they're talking about, I can't see how two different organisations can seriously do that. I would have thought that they need to get together. Someone should bang their heads together and say, look, you lot, you want to have this happen. Put all your personalities aside. Put all your egos aside. Let's get one united bid here into Canterbury, into Christchurch. We've got the best stadium there in the country by far. Let's make it work. Instead of fighting amongst yourselves, I just find it frustrating.
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you. I felt that statement was just silly about we're going to get Razor. It just is absolutely to me, when you hear stuff like this, you're thinking, mate, just tone it down. If any statement you want to make, if you're going to make statements, you can make statements. We hope we can get we'd like to attract a top NRL coach to there. When you go to a guy that they know he can't even reply back to the comments, that's the thing.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you don't know what's going on in the background. You don't know how close, whether they've had any conversations with Razor and he signed on a bit of paper and, you know, a heads of agreement. Who the heck knows? You just don't know because he said nothing. Razor has actually been very, very, you know, since his dumping from All Black coach, I think he's been very, very classy. He said absolutely nothing.
Good. I think he has, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't popped up anywhere. He said nothing. I think he did that one Barbarians team coaching, something like that. It was probably already booked in. I don't know. But something like this, he's never coached league before, as far as I know. So I just find it a weird, weird statement. And I agree with you, Graham Lowe, you know, Sir Graham Lowe, obviously an absolute hero in New Zealand rugby league circles. But, yeah, I think it's a strange thing, a little bit out of line. I don't know whether Razor could do it or not. Who knows, I suppose. But I come back to what I said before, Amon. If they could crack some heads, get these two organisations to combine, I think they've got a much better chance than fighting amongst themselves.
Absolutely. Anyway, we come to the EPL now. I know we sort of had an EPL team out there. Now, I won't get stuck into you, but it was so good to see you, Andy. I enjoyed catching up with you and your mates. But, you know, like... You're a man of means, and you picked the cheapest seat at Eden Park and in Auckland, where it, you know, it rains a little bit, and you moan about our national stadium.
Oh, look. To be fair, and I'm going to defend myself.
Oh, yeah, good try.
I went to that game, and those seats were in the Spurs fan zone. I deliberately picked those seats, so I was sitting with the Spurs fans, the hardcore Spurs fans. I actually wanted to go and experience an EPL team. My team, Tottenham Hotspur, with the dedicated hardcore Spurs fans. I could have been like, you know, our old mate, Lee Piper,
sitting
on a corporate box somewhere, you know, and just splash Harry swanning around. No, I wanted to sit with the fans. But yes, I might have tongue-in-cheek put out a wee Facebook post which talked about, and I've done this before, it does grind my gears seriously, Amon, that Eden Park has self-declared itself to be New Zealand's national stadium. Sorry, you don't get to do that. You just don't get to say we're the national stadium. There's plenty of other stadiums around. Just say you're Auckland Stadium. Fine, no arguments. But, you know, what I said basically was, well, how can you be the national stadium? One, there's three things you need. One, you need to be in the right place. Two, you need to be the right size. And three, you need to have a roof. Well, so I suppose one out of three is not bad. Is that right? It is the right size. It's in the wrong place, and it doesn't have a roof.
Just seriously, we've probably just got 10 seconds. Who's going to win the EPL? Obviously, I know your heart says Spurs, but who does your head say?
Oh, it's hard to look past Arsenal or Liverpool again. As much as I hate to say that, really, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Spurs top six, though. We'll be back in Europe.
Good on you, mate. Okay, we'll call it here. Let's have a quick chat to you afterwards, Andy. So that's us done for the day.
Your language.
This program was first broadcast on Planet FM, Community Access Media in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland. You're hearing it on accessmedia.nz thanks to Erirangi Te Motu.